Today's episode is brought to you by the Ohio Toy and Comic Show on
Sunday, July 23rd,
10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Fairborn Dayton, Ohio Inn. What's the address, Johnny?
2800 Presidential Drive, Fairborn, Ohio, 45324.
$2 admission, $12 year olds and under are free. Man, they're letting old kids in for free. Aaron, you got to charge
more. I was going to say, 12-year-olds, like, you know.
Man, that's like an adult.
That's puberty now, isn't it?
Anyway, so yeah, make sure you guys check out OhioToyAndComicShow.com. They're also on Facebook. You can get to all those links from their site. Check out their vendor list, their guest list. Your favorite podcast is listed on the guest list. So, you know, Bearded Beasts in the
I was going to say, the other one?
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, so definitely look for that.
I was looking to see if my favorite podcast was on there, but.
All right, we'll see you guys there. Listen up, a-holes. This is episode 95 of the Infamous Podcast. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this week we are talking Guardians of the Galaxy and Free Comic Book Day, and not in that order.
Okay.
What's going on, Johnny?
Not much.
All right. So we just had Free Comic Book Day this past weekend. Mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy opened this past weekend. Mm-hmm. We're recording this on a Sunday, which is weird. But still all good.
Okay.
So by the time this comes out, there's probably going to be like 100,000 things that happened in the news that we'll just have to follow up on next time.
Which is fine.
Yep. Good times. All right. So this year was the 16th year of Free Comic Book Day. Or was it your
16th? 15th year, 16th annual.
16th. Okay.
Yeah. You have to do the math.
And you've worked all of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Every single one of them.
And we volunteered our time at Queen City Comics in Cincinnati this past weekend at the Pleasant Ridge location.
We didn't volunteer our time. We were paid like mercenaries.
Paid in comic books.
Yep.
Wahaha.
Oh, I got comic books and cash.
I just told him, just give me the comics and I'd be fine. I was only there for half the day.
Give me the comic books and keep quiet.
I've started, I mean, I've been going to Free Comic Book Day for many years now, mm-hmm. But for the last three or four, I've joined you working down at the shop.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of fun doing it.
Sure.
It's cool to see all the families coming in, all the kids and moms and dads and the people who are in the comic book store for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know, I just find that... I enjoy that because
it's a smaller percentage now than it was when it started.
Absolutely. And then my favorite thing is the people who come in and go right to the back wall, though, and assume those are the free comics. It's like, no, those are up there. But
yeah, we need a flag or something.
Yeah, there you go.
Free comic books here.
Just a big shining red arrow.
Yeah.
Here.
That would be good.
That would be good. Anyway, but yeah, no, it's like I said, it's a cool day. There were some couple Marvel books, couple DC books. Mm-hmm. You know, Marvel was Secret Empire, Guardians, and then DC was real heavy with the females this year with Wonder Woman, with the reprint of Wonder Woman number one, and then the Superhero Girls.
Was that the reprint of the most recent?
Yeah.
The Rebirth?
Yeah. Wonder the Greg Rucka.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't Rucka sure what Liam that was. Sharp. I just told people it was a reprint. I didn't know what it was a reprint of.
Yeah, it was the one from just last summer.
Oh,
so,
okay.
That came out right after Free Comic Book Day last year.
Oh,
so
okay.
Anyway,
yeah, it was. There was a lot more like female aimed books mm-hmm. this year than there have been in the past. I did notice that.
So,
including the Wonder Woman, the Superhero Girls. Monster High, Descendants, because I feel like that's more.
Oh yeah, that's definitely
even though more. I had a lot of boys and girls grabbing that, which was cool.
I was surprised by Loud House, or was that
the Loud House,
which I don't even know what that is.
It's a cartoon.
Yeah.
I found out. I asked somebody whose kid picked it, and I was like, "What is that?
What is that?"
They were gone. They disappeared.
Yeah, those.
I didn't get one of those.
Yeah, I didn't get one either.
Yeah.
The Tick went fast, but we
the
only
Tick
had a few
always
copies
goes
of
fast.
That, so, anyone looking for an issue of The Tick, let me know. I have one.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even get it.
He went in my file.
Oh,
so
okay.
I always get that one. It's like the one I always get.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. There was a
new Buffy called The High School Years,
which wasn't that the show?
Well, I don't know what they're doing with that. I mean, it seems like it's a version of anime.
Yeah.
Type looking. I flipped through it, but I didn't get a chance to read it yet. The Star Trek The Next Generation was a new book. Mm-hmm. It was like the beginning of the miniseries that's coming out.
Now, is that like a prequel to the prologue to the miniseries?
I think
like
so,
where you have
yeah.
to read that
yeah.
or you'll be lost?
I didn't get to read all of it. I just read a few pages of it.
Yeah, they're all
there was a lull where I actually
me.
Got to look at books.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is like, you know, I think if these books come in a month before Free Comic Book Day, it would be nice to get hold of them so I could tell people, you know, yeah, that one's good for kids. This one's not.
The last 2 years, I got them beforehand.
Yeah.
And I didn't go into the comic book store 2 weeks prior this year for whatever. I just didn't make it in. So I think I probably would have gotten them.
I'll probably talk to him about that next year because I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I have more questions about books this year than I have in the past. Mm-hmm. About, you know, if it was okay for kids.
Yeah, is this a good one for kids?
Well, he's good about separating out the books, you know, to the point where it's like, these are the ones that are good for kids mm-hmm. and these are not. Like, I Hate Image looks like it's good for kids.
It's not.
But it's super violent.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, if you don't mind your kid reading super violent stuff, yeah, it's fine. But, you know, if you don't let your kid read I Hate Fairyland, and you wouldn't let your kid read I Hate Image.
Good to know.
Yeah. I flipped through it. I did not read any of it, but it looks funny. I mean, because it's literally Scotty Young's take on every Image book. So there's a Walking Dead sequence with an RV and
cool
Rick. And yeah.
Carl. Like,
it's Scotty Young's Rick. So I'm like, it's Grizzle Beard Prison Rick.
Oh, nice. Nice.
It looked fun. So that's one I look forward to reading. There was, you know, some that were more popular than others.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Monster High was not really that popular.
Is Monster High that popular anymore?
I mean, there was a lot of people that were getting it, but he ordered more than I think he needed to.
Ah, okay.
And whereas I got rid of all of Secret Empire. So, you know. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was a popular one.
Yeah.
The Link. The Zelda Link book was... very popular.
Yeah.
And that's one where I would have probably ordered more of that and less of Monster High if it was me ordering them. So
I think Secret Empire too, because it got some mainstream media coverage.
Yeah.
You know, people were like,
Guardians,
oh, hey,
obviously, because Guardians came out
and everything. I think it's a great day. We talked about this last year too. Like, I think it's a great day. What it does is, you know, really promote comics and literacy, and, you know, It opens up the comic book store to be more family friendly.
Definitely.
You know, and I think that's what's important to keeping everything going.
You know, the whole retrospective of doing 16 of them, it's changed a lot in that. Like, the first one, there was barely anybody in there, and there was only like maybe 15 books that I remember.
Right.
And now it's like, you know, it's a festival of craziness.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I mean,
cosplayers,
you know, cosplay families, people who are in the know, and that. Still a lot of shy kids, though.
Yeah,
I get a kick out of those.
Which two do you like? I don't know.
I don't want any.
I'll just have this one.
I don't want any.
Yeah.
And then come back and be like, can I get that one? Yeah, you can get that one.
It's like they're embarrassed to ask for books in front of their parents.
Well, what was nice is like the adult people who come in. And would be like, well, what do you recommend? Like, I just want to try something. And that I pushed Exo Manowar. I pushed Star Trek. You know, something that I was like, what do you like? And they're like, well, I like superheroes, but I don't like all the mainstream. And I'm like, well, try this and try that. I'm like, you know, I like the people who are coming in like with their either female friends or girlfriends and like, oh, get Barbie because it's a girl's book, or get Wonder Woman because it's a girl's book. And I just stand there and be like, I'm not going to say anything.
You go ahead and believe that.
Yeah,
that's what they want to read.
Well, the one guy was teasing because he's come in there since he was a kid, and like he was teasing his friend and told her, he goes, aren't you going to get Wonder Woman because it's a female book? And it's like, okay. I don't know you people that well, but I don't think I would say that to her.
I'm going to giggle at that, but like kind of under my breath. But I don't know. It's definitely an interesting cross section of people. And just in the last couple of years I've been doing it, it's definitely changed. More of the people who would be classified as hipsters coming in.
Yeah.
But I think that's also too part of the neighborhood is changing to that.
Right. Yeah.
Where the shop we were.
I mean, everything I've seen picture-wise from all the other local stores, it was equally crazy everywhere, so.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah. I mean, and we're lucky we have numerous options.
Yeah.
As far as comic book shops to go to within a, you know, a 40-minute drive. And,
like,
CDG 10? Is probably the farthest away. Yeah. 9 or 10.
9 or 10.
And, you know, and then if you make that an hour to an hour and 15.
Superfly.
Yeah,
and Bookery.
Those get added in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bell Book and Comic.
Columbus gets added in all of a sudden and everything, and it's all good. But
the only one that I've ever been to in Columbus is the Laughing Ogre.
Yeah.
Because it's easily accessible from what I've looked at on a map. And then there's one in Reynoldsburg, and I forget the name of it, but they had a nice store too.
Okay.
And I mean, like, you know, there's stores you go into and like you're like, where are books? Like, where, you know, you can't find the books you're looking for. And when you go into the store and you're like, immediately you're like, oh, yeah, I got this alphabet down already. It's like, you know, I got how they separated their books. And those are nice stores.
Yeah,
so
you can tell immediately.
Yeah. And they have back issues, which is always a plus in a comic book store.
Yeah, that's, I mean, when I'm going to a new, like, store I've never been to before, I'm always interested in the back issues anyway, so, because I know what...
Because different stuff circulates in different areas. I mean, and, you know, even at Jeff's, I hadn't been there in probably 3 months, and I found a couple back issues that I was like, sweet, you know? Plus, I got the Raid the Quarter box, which was full, so, I found a bunch of Usagi Yojimbos in there.
Nice.
Yeah. So... I got those.
Cool. All right. Well, hey, Free Comic Book Day. Looking forward to it next May. First Saturday every May, which is cool. Yeah.
What movie's coming out with it next year?
I don't know.
They don't know yet. It's not Avengers Infinity.
It might be.
Is it?
No.
No, that's 19, isn't it?
Yeah. So it would be... I forget. Anyway,
I don't remember.
Yeah. I just know there's a lot of superhero movies coming out. Yeah, Aquaman.
Woo! So. DC got a movie in on Free Comic Book Day weekend.
Maybe. Now, I think DC's going to stick to March.
I would.
March and June. But
well, is Wonder Woman June or May?
I think Wonder Woman's May.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway,
I'm just confused by that one because they're running more previews for Justice League than they are for Wonder Woman. And Wonder Woman looks like the superior movie.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk about Guardians. Yeah. There was a half hour worth of previews before Guardians. I mean, there were a lot. There were a lot of previews.
Yeah. You went to Regal.
Yeah.
Regal runs a half hour previews no matter what. I mean, that seems to be their modus operandi.
I mean, there was
Transformers.
Whereas
I went to
Milford.
Cinemark owns the one I go to. So Cinemark must not have that agenda that Regal does, or have that contract that Regal does.
They don't want to push people into their... No, I'm kidding.
They don't have those damn reclining seats, so it is actually better. And their screens are way bigger.
Even bigger than the RPX screen?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
The RPX screen at Regal projects at a certain angle, a certain height and width.
Okay.
At the Cinemark, I'll call it a Cinemark, it's... What the hell is it?
I thought it was Rave. That's what I said.
It's Rave, yeah, which is owned by Cinemark. Oh, okay. Cinemark owns Rave and a bunch of other... subsidies. It's kind of like Kroger owns, you know, Ralph's and all that type of stuff. So at their theater, the seats literally are the stadium, the old stadium seating, and the screen goes from floor to ceiling, and they project from floor to ceiling.
Okay.
The RPX does not go from floor to ceiling because they have reclining seats. And the RPX was put in with the reclining seats, so
yeah,
that angle is the way it is. That's why in other theaters in that place,
right,
the way that they set up the angle is not good with the screens anymore because they can't go floor to ceiling anymore. Get those reclining seats out of there. Come on. Get it back to normal seating. I mean, seriously, those are very uncomfortable.
My favorite thing, though, is that I get to pick my seat well in advance.
They could do that with regular seats,
I know they
too.
Can. So, but I don't mind the reclining seats at this point. Like,
I do.
Know. I know you do. It's your bane. It's like you feel about the reclining seats the way I feel about 3D.
I feel that a smart business decision would have been to do half the theater in reclining seats and half not. That way, if I wanted to go see a movie,
right,
I want to go see a movie in a regular seat.
Sure,
I'll pay for it.
Yeah.
And that, and then you pay a premium if you want to go into reclining seats.
Right.
Everybody has to pay the premium.
Yeah.
You had, how much did you pay for your 3D Guardians of the Galaxy?
$15.
$15. Yeah. What time?
7:30.
Okay. I went at 10 o'clock in the morning show and paid $12.
Yeah.
For two people.
And then.
For two people.
For two people together or each?
Two people together. Okay. $12.
Wow. It's $6 movie ticket?
Yes. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Anyway, and then
because you're not paying a premium for the seats,
right? This morning we went to see it.
Three people
and the kid and the wife, and it was $46
for
the
what
RPX
time?
At 11:10.
See, yeah,
but
you could have went down to the Rave and paid $6 a piece and had a as good of experience.
Yeah, I'll have to try that one because it's right by my work.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what so I'm saying. You could go down after work and day. Try it. And I think like on Tuesdays they do like $5 tickets or something all day long.
All right.
There are some kind of deal on Tuesdays. My cousin used to work there, so.
But okay, so theater going aside,
yeah,
I saw it on Thursday night, because I wasn't sure what was going to happen with Saturday, and I knew I couldn't go on Friday.
Sure, yeah.
And I really wanted to see it before someone could spoil it for me.
Right.
Which you asked me not to. You said, don't even tell me what you think of it. And I didn't even text you or anything until
somebody
you
else
texted
did that.
Me. But,
somebody else did that.
Anyway, so on Thursday night, I accidentally got the 3D tickets.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't paying super close attention when I was getting my ticket. And
you will from now on, won't you?
Well, I will be doubly cautious, absolutely. But like, it totally affected how I felt about the movie.
Well, you don't like 3D anyways.
I just sat there being mad at myself.
Yeah.
And then, like, what I hate most about 3D
which you probably could have exchanged that ticket.
Well, I could have, but the same seat wasn't available until like 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, and you have to have a specific seat.
You know, I like to be in a certain angle.
Right.
But anyway, it mutes everything. It mutes all the colors. And then when movies...
It really did?
Yeah.
Like, I mean...
Yeah, like hardcore.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, I watched a lot of it with the glasses off.
Because, I mean,
just
I was,
dealt with the blurriness.
I was interested to see, like, what Ego's Planet looks like with 3D.
Well, here's the thing, though, is these movies aren't shot in 3D. They're converted.
Right, yeah.
So a lot of times what that means is there's, like, a bullshit branch in your way, you know? Like, or something comes across the screen that wouldn't otherwise, that wasn't in the regular standard version. This movie does not need to be seen in 3D.
Yeah.
Ego's Planet did not look any better.
Yeah.
Actually, it looked worse because it wasn't as vibrant with the color scheme, the color palette.
Right.
Because the sunglasses, they're essentially sunglasses that you're putting on. They're just polarized in a certain way to, you know.
Well, and I think
credits were going not in 3D.
We're
going
to go again with the theater.
Yeah.
I've seen 3D movies at Regal.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen 3D movies at AMC Westchester, which is another local theater.
And I've done that too.
AMC Westchester's 3D is superior to Regal's 3D.
See, 3D always gives me a headache.
I think it has something to do with your eyes, and you know, so, you wore glasses, and now you had LASIK surgery.
But I also obviously, like, and if you do one of those color tests,
yeah,
have you ever taken one of those?
I've done it before. Yeah,
I see. Like when I take that test, I see more colors than like 99.9% of the people on the planet.
Right.
So like to mute my vision like that, like hurts. It hurts.
Right.
You know. So
But I mean, like, I seen Force Awakens at AMC in 3D.
Was it the IMAX?
It was the IMAX.
Because that's the difference. It's the IMAX 3D is a completely different experience.
So it's shot in 3D, then. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if Star Wars was shot in 3D or not. But
I mean,
but when it's the IMAX, though, that's that 70 millimeter frames per second, whatever.
That's the way to see Guardians of the Galaxy in 3D, then, probably.
Yeah, but... But yeah, I just like I enjoyed the movie and the content of the movie. And then after seeing it this morning, it's like, yeah, okay, I really do like this.
Well,
movie.
Jeff asked me yesterday before you got there, like what I thought.
Yeah.
Like he said, don't tell me anything. Yeah. He goes, what did you think? How did you feel? Like how good it was? I said it's as good as the first one. Not better, not worse, as good as it. That's literally what I felt.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit there.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's as good as the first one because I think this is the first time James Gunn has done a sequel to anything, to any of his other movies. And he took what worked and he kept it. But then in some cases, like Drax, for example, he took it to like another degree. And it was too much of a good thing.
What, the laughing in that?
Well,
or?
No, not even the laughing. Just the boisterous, the over... confident boisterousness that like he wasn't the warrior he was the first time around. Like he forgot all about Thanos and wanting to kill Thanos, and
I don't think he forgot
but
about
like
that.
But that wasn't like really where presented.
This is only 3 or 4 months after the first
right one. So but
and he's found a family
in which I get
now, so the laughing and all the boisterousness, I think it's like, you know, if he's in a good place.
It was No, and yeah. It is. I just think there was just like, you know, it's like when I go out to eat and stuff, right? Like I feel like everything has like too many ingredients now.
Okay.
Like it was just like too many like comments from Drax.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Now, Dave Bautista is amazing, and he did steal most of the scenes he's
right,
in.
Yeah.
And like I do not begrudge that, and this is my opinion.
Right.
I do enjoy this movie,
yeah.
But I'm throwing it, like, Guardians Volume 1 is my favorite Marvel movie.
Okay.
This is middle of the pack.
Really?
Yeah.
I
mean, it's in
way.
The top half, don't get me wrong, but, you know...
Of the sequels...
Okay, if I'm going to go of the sequels...
We'll go of the sequels, where does this fall?
Number 3.
Number 3 to what?
Civil War and Winter Soldier, not in that order.
Okay. And then this, and then Age of Ultron.
I would put Iron Man 2 before I'd put Age of Ultron.
Okay.
Age of Ultron is probably my least favorite Marvel film.
So you, of the sequels, like, you're talking Cap 2, Cap 3, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, Thor 2,
Age of Ultron.
Avengers 2.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's 6, so this is right in the middle of those 6.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
So,
is there one that you like equal to this one?
I would put this on. This goes along like with Ant-Man for me. It's probably close, and Ant-Man's in my top 5.
Right.
So,
this is barely cutting the mark.
Yeah. No, I mean it's a good movie,
right?
And you know. I don't want anyone to think for a second that I didn't like this movie, because I did. I enjoyed my experience. But when I hear like it's as good, or, you know, not as good, not as bad, but as good as the original.
As good.
Like, that's not how I felt about it.
Put it to you this way. For me, Winter Soldier is better than the first Avenger.
Yes.
Winter Soldier is better than Civil War.
Yes.
Agreed. That's what you should be trying for when you do a sequel.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
but I don't think
Thor the Dark World is better than Thor. And do you want to know why?
Okay. So I rewatched both last weekend.
Okay.
And I loved Thor.
Yeah.
When it came out.
It's an excellent movie.
I liked The Dark World.
Okay.
And I've watched it a couple of times since. Yeah. And every time I watch it, I find something that I like about it more.
It brings it up more, yeah.
And as we get deeper into the MCU mythology,
right,
The Dark World becomes a better movie.
Right.
Now,
I liked The Dark World more when I seen it in a theater.
But I still don't like it more than I like Thor.
It's got more story to it.
Yes.
It's got more action to it. You upped everything. When you're doing a sequel, because the sequel that you compare everything to is The Empire Strikes Back, it upped the story more. It literally ups the story more. This one, it pretty much was the same story, you know, with a different story.
Right.
You know, so it was like, it's as good as the first.
Okay.
I'm not displeased with it. I'm not overly pleased with
it. No, I mean, I've spent $50 on the movie in the last three days.
And Marvel thanks you.
Yeah, they do. You know, the Regal thanks me.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Got to pay for them seats.
But like, I don't feel like that was money not well spent. That was like, I'm happy with my entertainment dollars.
Would you go back and see it again?
I think I will.
Okay.
I definitely think I will go see it again at some point.
IMAX 3D.
No, probably not that. But, you know, the kid enjoyed it. The wife enjoyed it.
Right.
You know, when I got home on Thursday night, she was asleep. On Friday morning, she was like, is there a group that's my age or older? And I'm like, I'm not going to confirm or deny that. And then, you know, she had her moment there during the end credit scenes.
Angry Groot?
Yeah.
I'm Groot.
I am Groot. Anyway.
No, it was very sarcastic. Yeah, Groot.
I'm not boring. You're boring.
I am Groot.
Yeah, I just imagine him like pushing the swath of hair out of his
right.
face.
Yeah, exactly.
But I tell you what I loved about this one is Gamora. And Nebula was one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Because they didn't have enough time to acknowledge that story in the last one. Right, yeah.
Drax and Mantis.
Yeah.
And then my absolute favorite part of the movie was anything that Rocket was involved in.
Yeah.
One, Bradley Cooper just has this voice down.
Yeah.
And it's the Rocket I hear when I read the comics now and everything, which is a testament to how good the performance is.
Right.
But, man, just Rocket was so... He was so multi-layered in this one, time out.
You have to give credit to Sean Gunn, too, because, I mean, actors are interacting with Sean Gunn. They don't ever meet Bradley Cooper.
Right.
And I don't think they probably even know what Bradley Cooper looks like. You know, but
he's not some famous Academy Award nominated actor.
Yeah, but I mean, it's that thing where he doesn't come to the set.
Yeah.
He just records his lines.
Him and Vin Diesel. They hang out together.
Well, I think Vin Diesel's been on set.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, he's become friends with James Gunn.
Yeah.
And it's like, he likes to hang out with James Gunn. Yeah. So.
And Bradley Cooper's a busy dude.
And Bradley Cooper's doing a lot of stuff.
So.
And I think Vin Diesel has attached himself more to the character.
Oh yeah,
than Bradley Cooper has.
Yeah,
and that. So
But the that part was great. Kurt Russell is a galactic treasure.
Yeah,
that guy.
I want to give compliments to the makeup artist at the beginning
because that was the CG thing that they did.
There's no CG. They said there's no CG.
Are you kidding me?
They said that the CG was just cleaning up the makeup. That you would be able to see on a.
I thought that was thing they did with Tarkin and Carrie Fisher.
It is literally a makeup artist aged him down.
Damn.
And then they went in and CG'd out the makeup, that you could see the smudges and that.
Right.
And then the hair, I think, was CG.
The hair was awesome.
The hair was luxuriously awesome. So. But I was I read an article a couple weeks ago, and I was a non-spoilery article, but it said, the beginning of the movie obviously is going to be, a flashback.
Yeah.
And they said, when you see Kurt Russell, he's going to look like he did in Big Trouble in Little China. And I'm like, he does.
Yeah,
they said it was literally just makeup.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And I'm like, that's awesome makeup artist.
Because I was looking at it and I was the point where he kisses her, right?
Yeah.
It's like, man, they really got the depth down. Because like in Rogue One, like, you know, it was the lips that gave it away.
Well, it's the same as Tron. Tron's the one that, you know, Jeff Bridges, when he opens his mouth as Clue, it's like, wait a minute, you could tell.
There's no mouth there.
Yeah, there's lips. There's no depth to it. And it's like, you know, it's more obvious with Leia than Tarkin in Rogue One. But it's there.
Yeah.
And that's what I was like when they said that they weren't de-aging him, like, you know, what they aged characters and de-aged characters in Ant-Man and other Marvel movies. And it's like they said, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah, because they did that to Michael Douglas.
Right.
And I'm like, he looked good.
That looked good.
But it was also really short. And then, like, if you look at Fury 7.
Yeah.
With Paul Walker.
Yeah.
I was listening to the producer talk about that, where he said they were lucky that they never had two scenes in a row where the face was CG. So even if your brain was like, that's not real, the very next frame
was him.
And it's like, oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. And then back to, wait, that's not real. And then, you know.
Yeah. That literally was like minutes were cut in there.
Right, right.
Whereas like this, it's like a full 10-minute sequence. Yeah. And you're like, man, he looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, they did a really, that makeup artist is like,
that's awesome.
That's Academy Award winning makeup artist right
Guardians
there.
Guardians doesn't win for best makeup.
Yeah.
Because the Sovereign.
Yeah.
With the
all
gold.
The gold. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
There wasn't a crack. Like,
no, it literally, know. the sheen on them was like, man, I would just want to go up and just touch their faces and be like,
does it feel metallic?
Yeah. It's like, what do you feel like you're metal?
I mean, it took me a second to realize it was Ben Browder.
Oh, as soon as he started talking, I'm like, oh,
well, yeah.
I leaned over and went, John Crichton? And she goes, yep. And I was like, yes. I said, awesome.
But
because he was doing that Peacekeeper.
Well, yeah,
voice.
He did. He did his Scorpius. You know.
Yeah.
Yes, High Priestess.
Yeah. I'm not aware of why High Priestess.
So
she was awesome, Aisha. Yeah. Like, was an awesome character.
Mm-hmm.
And that...
At the end, in the end credit scene with her, mm-hmm. where the whole movie, she's prim and put together.
Yep.
And, like, even when she's flying the arcade version.
Oh, yeah.
The arcade was great.
This race, the Sovereigns, are geniuses that they send out battleships, but they are literally in an arcade room flying the battleships.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? It's like... Where what? It's like, okay. So fleets of ships, but the problem is they run out of ships.
Right.
And it's like, you know, she spent a lot of money chasing after the Guardians and got screwed in the end. So by the end of the movie, she don't look as good as she does at the beginning of the movie.
Her hair is all over the place. And
But they lay an egg for you.
Wow. Well,
yeah. So we'll see where that goes.
Well, I mean, that'll be the third one, obviously.
Well, right.
But the third one comes after the Infinity War. So do you
Unless the third one comes before the Infinity War and
well. But I mean, the movie comes out
such
after.
A certain golden character in the Marvel universe might be showing up in Avengers Infinity War.
Well, that would be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, cuz that certain golden character did wield the Infinity Gauntlet and
right.
But yeah, no, I thought the villains were pretty all right this time out.
I enjoyed that we didn't have Thanos, but Thanos was talked about.
Yeah.
Oh, Nebula is gunning for him.
The ever-present shadow of Thanos was very much a thing. And I'm glad we didn't see Thanos as well.
Well, and I'm like, that makes it a perfect like arc to Infinity because... Nebula's hunting him at this point. So it's like, you know, she'll be the one that says he's on Earth.
Yeah.
And the Guardians will show up on Earth.
They'll make 700 jumps.
Yeah, that was awesome. Salvador Dali paintings. I mean, the effects in this movie are like awesome. Like that 700 jump thing is awesome. Stan Lee's cameo is beyond awesome.
Well, finally, all of his cameos.
We're figuring out what he is. That he's a storyteller.
Yeah.
And that, you know, he's been everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's just telling the stories.
Well, and Kevin Feige confirmed that he is playing the same character in every movie. Right. So that's pretty cool.
Which means he's crossed over into the 20th Century Fox universe too.
He's
an Infinity Stone.
Maybe. That would be awesome.
That would be great if they were just like, wait a minute, Stan's an Infinity Stone?
Yeah. The Watchers look great, but both showings I saw as we were walking out and at the last Stan Lee credit, he's at the very end. There's five of them, by the way.
Stay through the credits.
He's at the very end.
And read the credits too.
And the I Am Groot's popping up everywhere were great. Both nights walking out, or both showings walking out, someone's like, man, DC must make a lot of money off of Stan Lee.
Really?
And it's like, oh, it's a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Do you not know the difference?
No.
And I don't want to be that guy, to like correct someone in public.
I'd be like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Do you know what you just seen?
Did you
see Superman? Did you see Batman?
Yeah.
I'd be the Samuel L. Jackson in Unbreakable.
There would be Batman in this movie if it was a DC movie. Because
exactly.
You know what DC can't do? Make a movie without Batman. So
they did the Man of Steel.
Yeah, but okay.
Okay.
They can't make a movie that people will go watch without Batman.
Well, they did before, but it was called Superman the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I don't know. Star-Lord was good. Peter's arc was really good. Chris Pratt, I think, showed a whole bunch of range.
Yeah.
In this time out with everything that Star-Lord was going through.
I mean, like we were talking about, it's 3 or 4 months, so there's not much development of the characters.
Right.
Beyond the, we just saved the galaxy.
Right.
And that, but, this developed more of how much he loved his mother.
Yeah.
Because, we don't see that as much in the first one because literally his mom dies, he runs out of the hospital.
Yeah, and then he gets
he's grieving and all that, but it's like, you get flashbacks in this movie of him as a kid with her listening to music on the Walkman and all that stuff and talking about more about the music. And that, and how she, she knew every song. She knew how to, every song went. And that, and it's like this thing with Peter and her. It's like you felt more in this movie that, you understand why he ran out of the hospital.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then the way Kurt Russell kind of brings it all back together, it just reaffirms all those feelings for him because, Ego had those feelings for Meredith.
Right.
And, in a different way, obviously.
Right.
But, they both loved her for the same reasons, just from
different points of view.
A different perspective. The Ravengers.
Yeah.
Not just the Ravengers we saw in the first one.
Right.
But the Ravengers as a whole.
What did you say? Did you say Ravagers or Ravengers?
I said Raven.
Ravagers.
Ravagers, sorry.
Yeah.
As a whole. That was so cool to see the expanded infrastructure of that organization.
Because in the first one, you just think it's just that group and that, and now you realize that they're a biker gang and that there's different patches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I was like. Okay.
Sylvester Stallone, a Starhawk.
Yeah.
Was great. Even though that's not what they called him, but that's who he was.
They called him by his real name.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Cigar.
And then seeing, and I'm not, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but seeing the OG Guardians.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
On screen in the same room, kind of in that.
It was cool because of the fact that that was probably one of the best kept secrets that they kept.
Yeah.
For this movie, because they did not tell who Stallone was playing at all. And that up until he shows up.
I mean, there was a part of me that thought he was going to be Jason of Spartax.
Yeah.
And that there was going to be the whole this is your father.
Right.
But they didn't do that. And that made me really happy.
Yeah. They did a really good job of using Ego as his father and the way that
they explained
the Infinity Stone, the thing that happened at the end of the first one, and why it was him that was able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that not just you have a unique DNA code.
You have a unique
There's
heritage.
A reason why he was able to hold that stone for that moment.
Right.
That. So, it like I said, as good as the first one.
I'm not there, but like, yeah. I won't, you know, I mean, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, obviously, but like,
because I'm not. Well, okay. Well, you, I mean, I could say what the worst Marvel Cinematic Universe movie was, and most people would probably agree with me.
Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron is the worst Marvel Cinematic movie that they've done, like Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even, like the event, like, both Avengers movies for me.
Yeah.
Are in the bottom three.
Okay.
So.
I mean, you know, Avengers is probably in my mid-range of, how many movies is it now?
13, 14. Okay.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about Michael Rooker.
Yeah. He's Mary Poppins, man. Come on. Mary Poppins, y'all.
Mary Poppins, y'all.
Now, they're still filming The Return of Mary Poppins.
Right.
Disney would be awesome to get him in it somehow.
Just show up.
Yeah. Just as a street tramp or something.
Or just put the fin in there somehow.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, someone walks by with a pink mohawk or red mohawk.
I mean, just, you know, have him be a street tramp and show up. That would be great. And then it'd be like, I was in Mary Poppins too.
Yeah, that would be really good. Yeah, I loved him in this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Tommy Flanagan was in this.
Yeah.
Chibs from Sons of Anarchy.
Yep.
Like, very much dedicated to the president of his MC.
Yeah.
To his detriment.
I think they did that on purpose.
I would have liked to seen Charlie Hunnam get spaced.
that would have been cool.
But
if they would have got all the Sons of Anarchy to show up in this movie as Ravagers, that would have been like, okay, that's not even over the top. That's awesome.
It ties into Pacific Rim now.
Yeah.
With your theory about the Yanceys. Whatever his name is. Anyway. Michael Rooker was so good.
Yeah.
And like the whole interactions with him and Rocket.
Yeah.
were great, because without that, Rocket continues down the path that he's going.
Well, you get more history about Yondu, and, you know, obviously with the Ravagers, who are all the original Guardians,
right?
And that was his crew, and then he just went off and started doing his own thing, and
he didn't stick to the code,
right? Yeah,
so.
Well, in that whole thing, it's like they explain why he took Peter with him. And it wasn't what you thought it was.
No,
and it's like, oh, my God.
You kept threatening to eat me.
Yeah.
That was funny.
That's funny. It was funny to me.
We ain't never had no Taren before.
I was going to say, if I had a kid, that'd be like, I'm going to eat you.
Tell her I'm going to eat her all the time. It's like, you know, you'd be delicious for dinner.
I ain't had no Taren yet.
I ain't had no Taren before.
But yeah, I mean, just the getting more of Yondu's backstory.
Sean Gunn was great in relation to Yondu.
Yeah.
Taserface.
Just Rocket's interaction with Taserface.
You can't say Taserface now after seeing this and not laugh.
I'm just like, jeez.
That's what I think you sound like in my head.
What's it like when you wake up and look at yourself in the morning? Are you just look and go, my name's Taserface.
Oh, so good. Anyway.
Just the best part of Bradley Cooper's voice is the laugh.
Yeah.
The laugh that Rocket has is like, you know, one of those ones where you're like, if you hear that, you know that shit's gonna hit the fan.
It's infectious
and
diabolical and evil, and you know, everything.
Somebody, I said, most of, like, you know, a lot of the scenes you've seen in the trailer, you've seen in the movie,
right?
But there was more to them,
yeah.
Because I said the scene where Mantis touches Peter,
yeah,
and then, you know, Drax cracks up, and it's like, that's not all there is to it, because there's literally a little bit more interaction. I said, James Gunn must have cut the trailer,
yeah,
because he cut it right. Where it's like, it's funny, but you didn't give away too much.
Right. Like the thing with the tape, right?
Yeah.
And he goes and you hear him asking everybody.
Oh, yeah, asking everybody.
And then he comes back and he's like, did you ask Nebula? And he goes,
I asked Nebula.
And I didn't hear you ask Nebula. She was standing next to Yondu. If she had tape, she would have spoke up. Or like the best was, with scotch tape work.
Yeah.
Why are you asking if you don't have scotch tape?
Exactly.
But no, you're right. And they, you know, honestly too, though, a lot of what we saw in the trailer is the first third of the movie.
Yeah.
So when you get to the end of the movie,
yeah, you didn't see any of that. Yeah, I mean, you got any tape? It's like, yeah, that's the only thing.
I mean, that
thing
was really, yeah, the only thing that you saw.
Well, and they cut the Groot thing differently.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, you know, it's,
yeah,
like,
cuz at no point does he run down the little cavern.
I am Groot. Yeah.
Which was fine cuz they didn't need it because, you know, there he is running through the
And they didn't overdo Baby Groot. Like, there was not, right, any time where I was like, oh, God, could you just stop,
well, okay,
with the Baby
Groot? So every time they were getting to that point where it was, yeah, too much, someone would do something awful to him.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you pour whatever that is you're pouring on Baby Groot?
Yeah. The Ravagers, yeah, like, had a hell of a time with
how
Baby Groot.
How dare you kick him? He is a baby tree.
And when he's pouting and, yeah, walking down the hall, oh, and I'm like, oh, God.
Like Charlie, doing the Charlie Brown.
Yep.
It was so great.
Yeah. Well, and the best part is he's still like, his brain has not developed, oh, yeah, enough, because when they're trying to get him to get Yondu's fin, it's like, he brings back everything but the, yeah, fin.
Didn't he bring back a table?
He brought back a, yeah, table. And it's like, that's a table. So. And he's like, I am Groot. And he's like, no, that's a table. When he describes hats.
Yeah. That's why you don't like hats.
That's why you don't like hats. Like, but that's the cool thing is, like, you literally knew what he was saying, yeah, every time he interacted, oh, yeah, with Rocket, because it was like, oh, okay.
So, or when the first time he goes off and Rocket's like, I'm pretty sure he didn't understand that.
Yeah.
And, you know, then it's like, okay, you ask him.
Yep.
So, yeah. You definitely need to see this on the big screen.
Yeah.
And, you know,
so I want to throw something out there.
Okay.
Because James Gunn is very prolific.
Sure.
Done a lot of different,
yeah,
movies. I would like to see him do a musical.
Okay.
Just because of the music he uses.
A musical Guardians movie?
No, just, oh, okay, a musical. I'd be curious to see what he could do with a musical. Like, you know, if somebody came up with a story kind of like Rock of Ages,
sure,
type thing. And just see what he could do with it. Hmm. Because I'm like, he loves music, obviously.
I'm going to be interested to see what's on that Zune.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, the Zune. I'm like, what? Wait,
It holds 300 songs.
That's older than my MP3 player.
300 songs.
Like, what's on there?
Yeah. It's got to be not. Well, I mean, it's got to be early 2000s stuff.
Well, it's probably going to be everything 70s, 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
And probably some early 2000s.
But no, the music is a character in this,
yeah,
movie. And it was in the first movie as well. You know, it's a great soundtrack.
Yeah.
And here's the great things. Here's what works most about both Guardians movies, right? Typically when you're like, man, that movie had a great soundtrack.
Yeah.
That's usually the best thing you say about a bad movie. You
don't, not bad.
It's not a bad movie. It's like, hey, this movie had a great soundtrack, and it's a character in the
movie. Are we going to get a Highway to the Danger Zone in Guardians 3 or Avengers Infinity?
Was he old? He wasn't old enough to watch Top Gun.
Yeah, he was.
Does he quote
He
Top
disappears
Gun?
In 1990.
Was it that?
Top Gun came out in like 85, 86.
Did he disappear in 90?
Yeah, he was 10
I
years old.
I thought it was like 86.
I think so, he was 10 years old,
anyway,
when he disappeared.
Yeah, but well, then he'd be 44. Because it said 34 years later.
Okay.
So.
Maybe he's not then.
Yeah.
He wasn't six. He was too old to be six.
Yeah, I don't know how,
yeah,
old he was. But anyway, I still don't think a 10-year-old enough to watch.
But he had the knowledge, yeah, of everything, yeah, in the 80s.
Not everything, because like, he would have been talking about Baywatch too then.
Baywatch was 90s.
Was it 90s?
Yes,
that
it
didn't
was.
Start in the late 80s?
It did not start, okay, in the late 80s.
Or he'd be quoting 90210 for sure.
Right, if he had 90s, but he was like talking about Knight Rider. Knight Rider was 1984 to 89, I'm pretty sure.
So the movie starts like, it starts in 1980.
He's born in 81.
Okay.
You could say he was born in 81. He disappears 89, 90, something like that.
So.
Yeah. So, yeah, literally the whole 80s is his like playground.
Okay.
I mean, he can't mention certain things like Transformers or,
well,
G.I.,
yeah,
Joe, because it's not owned by
Disney.
Well,
he mentioned Pac-Man and Skeletor.
Well, yeah, they got permission to use Pac-Man, and Skeletor's War was owned by Filmation, Mattel. I mean, they're not going to argue with that. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I get it.
They don't want Hasbro to buy them out. So.
Nope.
Or they don't want Disney to buy them out. Plus, Mattel does have a relationship with Disney.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, that's the thing. It's like Hasbro does not have a relationship with Disney like Mattel does.
No.
You know, they do even not. Though Hasbro has a relationship with Disney because of Star Wars now.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, right. I think the Pac-Man thing was just because, you know, what other video game would that kid remember?
Yeah. Pong.
Yeah. Pong. Yeah. Super Mario wasn't out at that point.
Galaga.
So. Donkey Kong would have been cool. Yeah, but, Donkey you know. Kong. At one point when he's obviously, you know, this is a little spoilery in that. At one point when he's fighting Ego, his hand. Because he's using the powers that his hand looks like Ben Grimm's fist. Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute. It's like, okay.
Well, because he pulled all those rocks.
Yeah, but I'm like, literally like his was orange too. And I'm like, oh, that's cool.
He's a Super Skrull.
We're going to get Fantastic Four in the MCU.
I hope.
After who Stan's talking to?
Dave Bautista's saying that they're going to get Spider-Man back full.
Well, they should.
So. Now after Stan, yeah.
But
no, you're right.
Who
yeah.
Stan's talking to? It's like the Fantastic Four would totally make sense to be in the MCU.
They're there.
Yeah,
like well, that's what would happen.
Yeah.
So all
Stan
right.
was telling a story about him.
Cool. So on a scale of 10, crazy
being
space
best?
Raccoons.
10 being the best.
Yeah.
It's an 8.
8.
Yeah, I think Guardians was an 8 too.
I'd give it an 8. I gave Guardians probably a 9, 9.5. But
the thing about Guardians and the thing that, you know, the fanboys with Guardians is that it introduced the characters and it was a unique movie because it wasn't Captain America and it was people that most people don't know.
Right. And I've been reading these characters.
Yeah.
Like I think this is one of the few books I've read longer than you.
Well, I don't think I've ever read a very long stretch of Guardians.
Because, I mean...
I knew the characters.
Yeah.
And that, but it's like, you know, Star-Lord to me is the Star-Lord that had his own book back in the day. And
right.
Groot was a villain at one point.
Groot was a villain who just talked in full sentences.
Right.
The I Am Groot thing didn't come until... Abnett and Lanning.
Yeah.
So
and that one was more what I knew. I knew the Star Lord that
and the Drax at that point was a human whose family was killed.
Right.
And he got kind of his consciousness was transplanted into this body of an alien.
Right. The Drax that I remember is the one in Infinity Gauntlet where he had a purple cape and you know, he looked like a Hulk.
Like a Hulk / Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then Gamora's been Gamora.
Yeah, but she's bounced around and looked different. Rocket's bounced around and looked different.
And
I mean, Rocket was a Mike Mignola thing. And I mean, Rocket's unique enough that you can change him just a little bit and he still looks the same.
Well, Scotty Young has really taken ownership of Rocket in the modern era.
Right.
So, there's the shorts on Disney XD. There was the Rocket standalone that Scotty Young did, which was fantastic.
I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like, I know these characters. I've known these characters forever. You know, I have the official universe Marvel books that, you know, have been published forever, like back in the 80s. But they had these characters in them. And I mean, you know, you knew the names. You knew the people.
I mean, it's been around since like 1950-something.
Yeah,
so, but
Star-Lord's been around since the 70s. Yeah. I mean, you know.
He's always been Peter Quill.
Yeah.
But
his story's changed over the years.
Different.
Right. Every one of them, every one of them has a different origin now than they had when they were created.
Right.
But, you know, without them being created, we wouldn't have what we have now.
And
I enjoy these renditions more than the comic book ones because of, I guess, the way James Gunn writes them more personable.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not the mercenaries that they are in the the thing they're supposed to be in the comic book.
Yep. Cool.
They're not truly the Guardians of the Galaxy. Mercenaries of the Galaxy. They're more Ravager in the comic books than they are in the
I mean, even still.
Yeah.
They're more.
And the symbol that the Ravagers used was the symbol that Star-Lord wore.
Right.
like, you know, in the Abnett Lanning stuff, mm-hmm. that was like on his chest.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally. Well, I would love to see that mask. That, yeah. that helmet. That
was,
and
the,
that, yeah.
that was the thing that like kind of got me. And then Bendis actually relaunched them right before the movies came out.
Right.
And he had the suit he was wearing and the mask he was wearing was really cool.
Yeah.
And then they morphed it to match what was in the movie, right. kind of without any explanation.
I mean, he's always had like,
and now, but now, is, now he's wearing this like Rocketeer looking getup that's really cool.
Right. If
with
you
that,
don't know
the
history of that character, look up just yeah. the artwork throughout yeah. his history, because of all the, like, you know, Captain America's suit looks the same pretty much throughout his whole history. Sure. Hulk looks the same. Iron Man looks the same. Star-Lord's outfit from first appearance till now, he's like really changed, but I mean, it's all awesome looking.
It's like Kitty Pryde level love, yeah. like uniform changes, right. you know? So, which is why, you know, they got together in the comic for a while.
Yeah.
Because they're like, hey, you like to change costumes? I like to change
right.
costumes
yeah.
too.
That's not why. It's because he's half alien.
Well, it's because his name is Peter and she has a thing for guys named yeah. Peter. Anyway, cool.
Yeah,
all right.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
All right. Hey, before we go, don't forget, like we mentioned at the top of the show, this episode is brought to you by the Ohio Toy and Comic Show this July. Check out OhioToyandComicShow.com for all the news that you need to know. They've announced a bunch of guests. They have some cool cosplayers there, some cool vendors, and they have more and more artists and like, those type of guests that they're announcing.
They're outgrowing their space.
All the time. They are outgrowing their space, right. actually. We will be there. Yeah. We're not quite sure what
we're
doing.
I was waiting for what you were going to say. I didn't know what was happening.
We're probably going to have some t-shirts for sale. We're going to be giving out. Johnny had a cool idea that we're trying to work out, but we're going to have probably a cool giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have buttons and pins and stickers and things
sure.
like that. But yeah,
lions, tigers, bears, you know, we're bringing them all
anyway. So yeah, go see this movie.
Oh yeah.
May, go to Free Comic Book Day. If you have kids, bring them. If you are an
you
aunt
know what?
Or an uncle,
just
go grab
to
those
the comic
kids.
Book store every day.
Well, there's that too. Like every Saturday, go to your comic book store and it's
or whatever
always
day
an
you
interesting
have
conversation.
Off. Yeah.
So
yeah. Sometimes it's more interesting to go in there on a weekday than it is on a...
To go in on Wednesday around lunch
yeah.
is a great time to go to see all the other comic book guys there collecting.
Like the like guys.
The
that
guys.
Buy. Yeah,
like,
they have to get their books on Wednesday.
That's kind of my favorite time to go,
yeah.
Which I can't do that now because
well,
it
sure.
works
yeah.
so far. I guess I could move my list to Parker's, but who's going to do that? Anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know if Parker's does a list.
I don't know either. All right. Well, on that note...
See you later, a-holes.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded just outside of Cincinnati, Ohio, in the infamous Nerd Den Studios thing, a.k.a. my house. You can find us online at infamouspodcast.com. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as Infamous Podcast. And as always, if you have questions, suggestions, all around comments about the show, you can email us at contact@infamouspodcast.com. Johnny, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Johnny Podorf.
And I'm Brian Tudor. I'm on most social networks as Brian Tudor. As always, new episodes every Friday. If you like what you hear, do us a favor and head on over to iTunes and drop us a 5-star review. It helps us get found by more people and it'll help the show. And
do the other what? The other sites have that
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Stitcher as well and Google.
Yeah.
And I think we have a Patreon page. Is that right?
Yep. Patreon page, but I don't know the what is it patreon.com/infamouspodcast.
There you go. And check it out. We have some pretty cool
I may have just had an aneurysm
prizes to win. Johnny just got that. Anyway, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night.
Wait a minute,
evening,
is that blood coming out of my
weekend?
Nose?
Whatever it is. Any last words?
Nope.
Later.